Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, are you ready to hear the Word of God? You've already heard the Word of God on and off throughout the day through our songs and everything. But I have Pastor John going to speak to us today on this great 4th of July. So, Pastor, come on up and tell us what God's told you.
Amen. Man, thank you. All righty. Let me get situated here. Get my mic going. Okay. Well, it's good to be here. And I was listening to the word that came from Sister Kim and just the songs. And when she was speaking about the generational curses that we have to break free from, you know, and how many know Jesus is taking care of a lot of this for us? Amen. But the problem is we don't believe it. See, that's where the key is. We have to believe, you know, and that's the thing that, as she was saying that, you know, we fight these things and I believe that God is wanting to set the church totally free from these generational curses, but many a times I believe the church don't want to do the work. Not that we're working for salvation, okay? Salvation, I mean to know, is not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's the gift of God. But there is a work that we have to work, and we have to work the word. We have to work this word. And how we work this word is that we got to get in and study it. Because Paul said, study, though show thyself approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. See, the word of God is what's going to set us free. See, not my program, not my formula. How many know there really is no formulas? But there is a person. And his name is grace. His name is truth. His name is Jesus. His name is El Shaddai. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. His name is love. His name is peace. His name is joy. How many know this is a person? Amen. We're not speaking of an event that happened on the cross, but this is a person that has chose you. You didn't choose him. You might have thought you did, but he really chose you. Amen? The Bible says in John 15, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit will remain. Amen? So he chose us. But let me give you another good news. He chose you before the foundation of the world. But many a times we don't believe that because we feel like that's too good to be true. But how many know it is the truth? Amen? And how many know the word of God said the truth will do what? Make you free. It is a process. Amen? We get a truth, we get free. We get another truth, we get freer. We get another truth, we get free. Amen? So, just want to share with you just for a brief second. The Spirit of God woke me up this morning and at 4 o'clock, and I'm thinking, my Lord, please, Jesus, no, not at 4. But I got up, and this scripture, what I was going to preach, you know, I had studied this, and I was going to preach, you know, it is for freedom that he set you free, you know, and that's true. But do you realize Jesus' aim is to make you whole? To make you completely whole on this side of life. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, we're going to be whole once we get to heaven. But how many know he want to make you whole in this life so that you will be productive in this life, so that you will begin to affect his creation in this life? See, after this, there will be another. There won't be another after this. This is it. Amen? We batting clean up. This is it. Amen? And what we have to understand is that God want to make you whole. Jesus came to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free, but many a times we don't believe it. Only time we believe it when crisis hit. But God want us to believe him before the crisis ever come. That's why he sent Jesus into this earth to bring healing to mankind. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. He came to give his life as a ransom for you and I so that we would be free to be able to choose God. You know why? Because the devil had us in a hold, in a chokehold, so to speak. He had us. But God said, I so love the world that I'm going to send my son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? For I sent not my son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's not the condemner. He want to give you life. Not only life, but he want to give you more abundant life. Amen? Amen? And getting back, I was woke up this morning and this scripture, I don't know. Well, I do know now, okay? I can't say I don't know. But I do know now that he took me to the scripture about the man at the pool of Bethesda. And I went back and I had read this before, but I didn't see what I seen this morning. I want you to just go there. We got some time here. I want you to go there, but I want to share this with you. I have to put that on the shelf. It'll preach another time. But I just want to share with you what the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Okay. Now, when you read this, just chapter 5, you know, Jesus just healed a man's son that had came to Jesus, and he was asking Jesus to heal his son. And what Jesus told him, he said, now, the only time you only believe because you see signs and wonders, you know. But at this particular time, there was no signs and wonders going on. This man's son was at home. And I'm going to bring you up to where we're at because this is where I went back to this morning. And when Jesus was talking to the man, it was an official, you know, but he was a man that was asking Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus looked at him and he said, you know, except you guys see signs and wonders, you won't believe. So Jesus just spoke the word. He just said, you know, he said, just believe and go home. Your son lives. He said, just go home. Your son lives. And the Bible says he believed the word. And he met one of his slaves when he was going home, and he said, your son liveth. And he asked him, he said, what time was he cured? It was at the exact same time that he was having conversation with Jesus. And what I take out of that is we have to believe the word of God. But I know we're living in a society that everybody wants proof. You know, this church thing, you know, what proof do you have that it works? The proof is an empty tomb. That's the proof that this works. But he left his word for us to go by and to study, to learn about him. Okay? Then he goes on, and it was the exact same hour, but the man believed the word. He didn't feel nothing. He didn't see nothing because his son was home. And what we have to understand, church, sometimes before you see it, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. See, Jesus said this. He said, blessed is those that have not seen yet believe. What do you mean Jesus said that? You back up. That's when he appeared to his disciples. And Thomas wasn't even in the midst. And Thomas said, except I see the print of it, except I see. And Jesus told him, he said, now look here, I'm going to let you see. But then he went on, he said, but blessed are those. How many know we're the blessed ones? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We're the blessed ones. Why? Because we believe and then we see. See, Paul said, I believe and then what? I receive. I believe and I receive. I believe and I receive. See, and it's a simple method that Jesus' word that if we will begin to believe, see, how is it that we can get one negative thing spoke to us and we'll weigh on that one negative thing more than the truth that we have received throughout our lifetime? How is that? Because we are not convinced that it's true what he said about us. Do you know a person that's convinced, you can tell them all day they ain't no good, but when they are convinced and believe that what God has said about them is true, how many know you're not going to cause that person to be discouraged, depressed? You're not going to cause him to start crying, oh, woe is me. How many know that individual is going to stand up and say, yep, but I still believe that I am that I am. You got to believe. Now, in this chapter, chapter 5, it says, after these things, there was a feast of Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called the Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And there laid a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which was afflicted. And a man was there who had been ill for what? 38 years. You know, and now think about that. 38 years. Could this be some generational stuff bothering us for 38 years? This man was ill, waiting for an angel to come down and trouble the water. But the thing about the pool of Bethesda, I've been there before, and it's two pools there. It's really two of them. And I got the privilege to step in one of them. Not that I was seeking healing. But it was over in when we went to Jerusalem, my wife and I, Faye and I, we went to Jerusalem, and we had the privilege of going to that site, the Pool of Bethesda. The presence of the Lord is still there. Still there. You know, but this man, 38 years struggling with this, waiting for the troubling of the water. Now, you got to understand something here. The angel came down, and the first person that got in, got the healing. Can you imagine this being the pool of Bethesda? And I say, the first one gets in, get the miracle. How many of you know that we hurt each other? You know, the front row got privilege, you know, because they can just jump in. But this guy was ill and couldn't get in, but just think about it. 38 years, he was suffering this illness. Okay? 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, now notice the man is laying there. He's lying there, you know, can't get in. How many know this is really unfair? I'm going somewhere. Couldn't get in. Just think about it. You can't walk. You can't crawl. You just lay there. Okay? And listen to what Jesus says. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been a long time in what? That condition. How did Jesus know this? The Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to understand here. Jesus, how many know we say Jesus was just like, he was human. He was just like we are. How many know we quote that? Jesus is just like we are. Amen. The Bible says that he was a human being just like we are. Let me tell you something. He did not pull the God cord. He pulled the Holy Spirit cord. Okay? And this is where the church is, where we got to wake up to the place to where we're not suspicious. We're not trying to go around doing a lot of God said stuff, but we got to cooperate with Holy Spirit. We got to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because there are things that are going to take place in this earth from this day forward that if we don't be sharp with the Holy Spirit, even the very elect can be deceived. So I'm not telling you to get suspicious of people, but what I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, John, you got to get more in tune with Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said he's going to lead and guide you into what? Some truth.
All truth.
Got some Bible readers. All truth. He's going to lead you into all truth. Well, how would I know that he's going to lead me into all truth? Because he's not a liar. He's not going to tell you you're no good. He's not going to tell you about your past. He's always going to point you to what? The righteousness of God. He's going to point you to what? You are justified. You are glorified. You are chosen in him. You are above and not beneath. You are a chosen one. You are a child of God. You are delivered. You are set free. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the language of the Holy Spirit. While Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition. See, sometimes we're so familiar with our condition to where we don't recognize our position. See, we play the blues about our condition. Well, you know, I'm always this way. See, this is where we got to change our what? Our vocabulary. We got to change the way we talk. See, the way you talk is what's going to get you where you need to go. See, if you talk doubt, guess what? You're going to get doubt. But if you start talking faith, guess what? You're going to cause faith to begin to be activated. Why? By your words. It's not my words, but it's what God's words have said about me. Do you not, oh Jesus, do you not know that my life has already been written in the book?
Amen.
All I'm doing now is play acting out what God has already intended for me when I walk in victory. Amen? Because God has not called us to defeat, but God has called us to victory. We do not fight from a defeated position. We are positioned with victory. Therefore, we must begin to talk the way God has designed us. Got to move. Already knew how long that condition. See, quit belly aching about your condition and begin to do something about it. See, as long as you keep magnifying the condition, the longer you're going to be in that condition. See, I was a drug addict at one time. I was an alcoholic at one time. I was a womanizer at one time. But guess what? I'm a new creature in Christ. Amen? That's the way you got to begin to think. Don't think on the condition. Think on the position. Christ has set you in heavenly places. Christ has set you free. See, that's one thing to be set free, but it's another thing to be made free. I'm set free based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm set free because I believe that, but I'm being made free because I read the truth. Amen. Because it's the truth that makes you free. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on away from that condition. And Jesus, he said to him, listen what he said. He said to him, do you wish to be well? Now this is Jesus talking to him. Do you wish to be well? Do you wish to be delivered? Do you wish to be set free? The invitation is still there. Do you wish to be well? What about this? Do you wish to be well? Okay. Listen what Jesus said to him. Do you wish to be well? Listen what the sick man answered him. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down in front of me. Don't that sound like us today? Mike, I'm working. Okay. What did Jesus ask him? Did y'all hear that? What did Jesus ask him? Talk to me. Did he what? Do you want to be well? Now, a simple question, but the man takes an avenue and say, ain't nobody to put me in when the water is stirred. Jesus didn't say, is there anybody to put you in when the water is stirred? You see how we detour, you know, you ask a person, how you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And you hurting on the inside? And how many know God could have that very person with a word that will set you free if you would just be honest and say, look, this is what's going on with me. This is what's happening to me. You know, they're on my job. The supervisor lied on me. And I'm mad and I'm angry about it. This is where I'm at. Okay, brother, let me tell you something. The wrath of man will not work the righteousness of God. What you're going to have to do is reverse that thing, amen, and begin to pray for that lying supervisor. See, we reverse it. We don't get on the bandwagon and say, okay, I got to do something to defend myself, because how many know the word of God will vindicate us when we stand for righteousness? Amen? So Jesus asked him, but the man, see, we go all the way back. Jesus is saying, do you want to be free today? Well, you know, I want to be free, but, you know, ain't nobody in my family ever got over this. You know, my dad was a, you know, my mom, and even my brothers and sisters, you know. But see, he didn't ask all that. See, that's when we begin to deal with the real issues of life. I mean, you know, we need to be honest. I mean, you know, we're in a flesh and blood battle. I mean, body, excuse me. I didn't say battle, but a flesh and blood body. And how many know these bodies go through transition sometime? Amen. But I'm telling you, if we would get honest and we would be upfront with God, God can begin to do something for us. But as long as we want to keep a mask on and trying to portray that we have it all together, let me tell you, you're going to keep on going through those same cycles. Amen. Because how many know the only way that you can break a cycle is you got to change something. And the only thing that can change something is who? Jesus. Say, he's the life changer. He's the life changer. Ask Nicodemus. No, don't ask Nicodemus. Ask Bartimaeus. No, don't ask Bartimaeus. Ask Lazarus. No, don't ask Lazarus. Ask Zacchaeus. No, don't ask Zacchaeus. Ask yourself. Let me move on. I got to close this one up here. I got to get to where I want to land. Do you want to be well? And the sick man answered him, Sir, I don't even have nobody to put me in this pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm pulling my way in, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Get up. The first thing you got to do, get up.
Get up. Get on up out.
First thing you got to do is get up. Get up. See, when you get up, how many know that's a sign of what? Life. See, when you get up and you get, I mean, you know, when you get out of bed, that's a new day dawning. There's a new season ahead of you. See, when you get up, don't get up looking at what happened on yesterday. Get up looking for what's good for today. Amen. Get some daily bread. Get up. Jesus said, get up. And there's a coma there. Get up. I believe Jesus was looking at him. He's waiting on this man to make a move. Pick up your pallet and walk. You know what the pallet represent? Our condition. The pallet represents the generational stuff. You started this with a word from God. And God is saying, get up, pick up that pallet and walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the light because he's in the light. We walk in the revelation because he's given revelation. We're not just walking in past information, but we're walking in the present truth. And that truth is what makes us free. But we got to get up, pick up, and walk. See, the man's condition changed. Not because of the pool, but because of Jesus. And your position in Christ is a new creature. See, when you are in sin, a sinner, I mean, you know, your position is in a kingdom of darkness. But I hear the word of God says that he's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. The devil don't have no more dominion over you if you are a born again believer. If you are saved. If you're washed in the blood and you fill with his spirit, the devil has no more right over your life. And what you got to begin to do is identify with who you are in Christ and quit going back to the condition that on that pallet, amen, pick it up. You got to pick it up and begin to walk. How many, the word walk means to progress. Stand means be still, but walk means I'm going somewhere. I'm headed somewhere. I'm heading in another direction. See, quit looking at your condition and begin to look at what God has said about you. I'm telling you, this is where freedom comes when we begin to identify with who Christ has said we are and quit playing the blues. Yes, we're going to go through some things. Jesus said it. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. You got to understand, we enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Amen. All tribulation is doing is stripping me of myself so that Christ can begin to reign in my life. That's all tribulation is doing. So we got to pick it up. We got to get up, pick it up, your pallet, and walk. See, we got to quit doing the talking and doing the walking. You know, we always say, you know, greater is he that's in me, to when something happened, and then where does that greater one go to? We try to hightail it and hide. And we want to whine. We become them bad past. Past. You know what I'm going through, past. Pastor study teaching. Come on. You know, we get to encourage the sheep. Come on, feed the lambs, feed the sheep. Come on. See, and this is the purpose of this right here. Amen. God has given us the prophets, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists to do what? To perfect us, to grow us up, that we will begin to do the work of the ministry. See, we got to get to the place that we come off the pacified, the baller, and we begin to chew on some meat. Amen. So that it will sustain us when the devil comes. Amen. We realize, yes, my adversary is coming like a roaring lion, but guess what? I have the antidote for him. And you know what it is? The blood of Jesus. The Bible said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And let's not stop there, because this is where it's going to come to. We love not our lives unto death. And you know what's wrong with America? And I'm going to step out on the limb and I'm going to say this. We don't stay consistent with the things of God because we're not getting paid. See, you'll go to a job and you'll commit because you got income coming. So I'm going to be faithful to that job. I'm going to be on time for that job. I'm going to discipline myself for that job. I'm going to do what I need to do for that job. If I have to run to get in shape, I'll do it for the job. You know why? Because there's a pay coming. But let me tell you something. There's a pay coming for you if you begin to discipline yourself in the word, and it's called victory. Amen. No warrior goes down, amen, when he's been disciplined in defeat. He's been trained to fight. And Paul said, we need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to finish our course. Amen. We were created for this. Amen. We weren't created for defeat, but we were created for what? Victory. And that's why we got to make war against our families. We got to, men of God got to stand up and fight for their families. Wives and husbands got to get together and quit separating and begin to fight for the family, because that's what the devil is after. Amen. If he can destroy the family, guess what? He can destroy the church, because you know why? The church is made of families. Have weak families, you got a weak church. We got to get strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We got to let him do a work, amen, that we can't do it within ourselves. Amen? We got to get up, got to pick up, and begin to walk. Sometimes it's going to have some rainy days. Sometimes it's going to be stormy. Sometimes the wind's going to blow so hard, you just kind of keep put one foot in front of another. You just got to keep plowing through. You know why? Because that's what the Bible said. The winds are going to come. The rains are going to descend. But when you're built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it won't stop you. Amen? But if you're building on sand, guess what? Your house is going to be blown over. So you got to prepare. You got to get up. You got to pick up and begin to walk. You're going to tote that condition that had you locked in. Guess what? You're going to begin to walk out. I'm telling you, you got to begin to walk out. You know, and what you got to understand is we can't no longer keep relying on just saying, well, you know, I went to church Sunday, you know, had a good time. You know, honey, this is just a place where we come corporate and we gain strength from each other. But I'm telling you, we got to get to the place to where we are disciplined ourselves and begin to get into the Word. You know, I've learned something about myself. And you know, I've watched my life. And I can talk about myself, see, right? But I've watched myself. When I start going down, feeling, you know, them little feelings you get like, oh, nobody cares, huh? You know, you get that little poor self-esteem talk going. And I watch myself. And you notice when you study somebody's game, you get a game plan. How to maneuver and how to defense or offend or how to go on offense. So I watch myself. You know, when I begin to get low in this walk with God, you know, when I start getting low, it's when I get out of this and I quit doing this. And I start doing this. Yeah, this is so relaxing. Turn into gun smoke. Yeah. Ooh, yes. Oh, yeah. Turn it to me some good Westerns. Let me relax. Give me a bowl of ice cream. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you went to Krispy Kreme? Give me one of them donuts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo. Living it up now. Holy Spirit says, what about Romans 8? Oh, Romans 8. I know what Romans 8 says. No, I want you to, let's go feed on Romans 8. Oh, I know what it says. There's no condemnation to them that didn't cry. I know that. But he's seeking deeper intimacy. See, and I've learned, okay, it's time to. Romans 8. Woo! Read that before, but I didn't see that. Then I get up. I pick up. But now there's something else energizing me. See? But what the enemy want to do, he want to entertain. Because we are people that want to be entertained. But then when you become disciplined, what's important comes first. And that comes second. I don't need no more Krispy Kreme. I got to lay off the ice cream. Cause cholesterol. Diabetes and all this other stuff. Well, you know, that's the devil. Nope. Discipline. Discipline. Not today, maybe another time. So when I begin to live my life like that, I begin to realize this is what's lacking. And the devil want to say, well, you know, you can't have victory all the time. That's a lie. Jesus did. He had victory every time he confronted the devil. It wasn't without a confrontation, but he had the victory. Why? Because he said, I only do what I see my Father do. And I only say what I hear my Father saying. So we get in tune with the Holy Spirit. And he begins to do what? Prompt us to get in the Word, to go into intimacy, prayer, and intercession. You know, see, we got to quit being, so it's always about me. How many know it's a corporate body? So you might be praying for somebody that's going through, and your prayer might be the key of them getting through this hardship. I just throw that in. It's free. But anyway, okay? Now, I'm through. What we got to do? We got to
get up,
pick up, and walk. Do you realize that what Jesus, when Jesus healed the man, he was able, what he was relying on, he was able to tote it. But he was walking. He wasn't laying. And guess what Jesus said to us? Walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. David said, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, because thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. But guess what? God has put the comforter in me, and he's leading and guiding me. Amen? So guess what? I don't have no excuse. So it was worth it. 4 o'clock this morning, God, thank you. Amen. It was worth the wake up. Get up. Like James Brown, get on up. Oh, no, okay. Better leave that alone. But anyway, I hope you got something out of that. We got to get up. See, we're not working for salvation, but we're allowing salvation to be worked in us and then out of us or through us, correct? Okay? So don't go trying to perform. Don't go trying, well, I got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, got to do that, got to do that. No, just follow the Holy Spirit. Read the Word, because the Bible, Paul told us, study this Word. Say, I'm not reading it because I'm being forced to. I'm not reading it just to get God to do something. I'm reading it for transformation. I'm reading it to know the mind of Christ. I'm reading it to know my position in Christ. Say, that's why I'm reading it. I'm not reading it so, well, you can get you a blessing, brother. I'm already blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditate day and night. And he's going to be rooted like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That Holy Spirit begin to river flowing out of your belly. Oh, Lord Jesus. Y'all getting the rocking with me. Oh, yeah. Y'all. Woo! Hey, Lord. That's what the anointing will do for you, Abby. Oh, Jesus. But I trust that you got something. Amen. But I want to pray for you. And we're going to turn it back in the hands of Pastor Terry. But I just want to pray for you. Amen. I don't know what you're going through, but it's not about me laying hands on you. It's about Jesus doing the work in you, you know. And whatever you're going through, if you're going through a low time, get up. Amen. That's the only thing you can do is get up. You know, the invitation is to get up. You know, we are set free. It's for freedom that he set us free. You know, so that we could begin to choose and overcome these generational curses. Amen. Have a testimony. Father, we just thank you this morning. And Lord, we thank you right now, God, for destroying every root system. Destroy it, Lord. We're not asking you to break it, but we ask you to destroy it. Because, Lord, what's broken, it could be put back. But, Lord, if you destroy it, Lord God, it will not come back. So, Lord, we speak to the root of any problems, anything that's lingering over your people, Lord. God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus.
God, we pray, Lord, that whatever they have need of, Father, you begin to minister to it by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, because it is your Spirit, Lord God, that will lead us to freedom. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Great word. Hold just a second. I've not been able to do this yet, so I want to go ahead and do this. I want to welcome and I want to introduce to you Jared and Christine Robbins. Christine, we're glad. Stand up. I know you've been helping take care of his mom and everything, but it's good to have you back in the house. But we congratulate you both. Amen. Amen. Happy 4th. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.